how is it that we claim the victory?
I know the answer, right? It's, I gotta try a little harder.
Is that it? Because it's within me, the victory, right? Hello?
No.
No, it's not. I need to look to him for the victory. I was thinking last night after Brother John spoke about the groanings of our heart, the sufferings that we go through. How is it that we claim victory over those sufferings? How is it that we respond to those sufferings? The ultimate answer is that we have to be looking to him. I read a quote yesterday. You're probably not going to like it, and truthfully, I don't that much either, because it's a little nitpicky, but it comes from, Jerry Bridges said it, he said, God wants us to walk in obedience, not in victory. And the reason he said that, he explained, because that can be confusing. Victory is self-oriented, he said. It's not my victory, but he wants to walk me in obedience to him so that he may claim the victory. And so I was thinking about a verse. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know this morning, I suspect. But as Paul said, it's no trouble for me to remind you again, right? You know, I'm a teacher. It's probably 200 days in the school year. 195 days out of the year, I probably don't teach anything new. Reminding them of the same thing I told them yesterday. And then finally when they get it, well, I get to move on. But we don't move on very often. I'd like to read to you a verse from Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, that verse really doesn't mean much if you don't know the context. And I hope that you've learned this, but context for basically everything matters. Right? If you say things out of context, you can be thought of as a crazy person. So let's play a little game here. I'll see who actually grew up as a Christian. It's not bad if you didn't. But if I said, oh, where is my hairbrush? See, if I went to Point Old Pines and I said, oh, where's my hairbrush? They would say, I don't know. If I said Zacchaeus was a wee little man, what would you say?
A wee little man.
See, this weird things that Christians say. But context matters. Context in the Bible matters. See, maybe you've done this before, and it's okay. Hopefully you won't do this moving forward now, but there's a verse in Jeremiah. Everyone loves to go after this verse. Do you know what verse it is? For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper. Where was Jeremiah when he wrote this, or what was going on? My man was in exile. Oh, but I'm life is going to be so happy. Well, Jeremiah was in exile when he wrote that. Bible says you can't judge. Judge not. Do you know what it finishes saying? Lest you be judged. So, don't judge if you can't be judged yourself. There's a whole book of the Bible called Judges. Okay? So, things need to be taken in context. Paul and Silas. So, Paul was on a crazy journey, right? We know this story. He was a missionary going all over the world, being persecuted for the gospel that he was preaching. This particular time, he was in prisons. And the prison that he was in, I did a little research on this a few months ago, but he was chained up. We know that. And perhaps you have a picture of what this looks like. If you were at my BPS 2 years ago, which I don't think you were, we did Paul as our theme, and I was Paul. I was in the skit. And, you know, I was chained up, I guess. And we kind of made like a joke out of the whole scene. I don't think the director of the skit was very happy, but it was me and my brother-in-law, Matt, and Gilmar. And I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to be serious? No, we're not. But so we're making jokes. We're singing hymns. We're singing, do you know Alabore? Alabore. Yeah, we're singing that. So we're making a whole big joke out of this thing. But Paul, so this is incredible to me. The way that they would chain prisoners, they would contort your body so that your muscles would enter into a spasm and stay that way. So this is where Paul was. His whole body was convulsing. He was chained up, ready to die the next morning. And what does it say he was doing? this crazy Lord. Now, I look at that, and look, you go to Point O' Pines, and you tell people that, you say, what is wrong with this man? Like, he needs to be doing something, like I don't know, write a letter to your family, write a letter to someone, tell them you're going to die. No, he's praising the Lord in this situation. I personally would be screaming, ouch. I don't know if I can get myself to the place where I would be singing hymns. How is it that we react to pain? I know how Paul did. You tell Paul, yeah, we're going to kill you. Oh, that's fine to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul, we're going to persecute you. Well, I don't count the present sufferings of this world to compare the glory that is to come. You cannot conquer Paul. It's amazing. And every situation, he says in Philippians, I've learned to be content in all situations. Now, he's not sitting at Pilgrim Camp and saying, yes, I've learned to be content here. It's easy to be content at Pilgrim Camp. He's saying, I've learned to be in a full body spasm, ready to die in the morning. And I've learned to be content. Because my God supplies all I want. No. My God supplies all I need. And I'm thankful for that, but have we learned that yet? I certainly haven't learned that yet. How is it that we react in pain? Where do we look when we're in pain? When someone's not nice to us. It's little things. When they talk poorly about us. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm going to talk poorly about... They talk bad about me, I'm going to talk bad about them. I'm suffering right now, so I'll make them suffer. No. Look to Jesus. When a relationship goes south, what do we do? Oh, well... God must be really persecuting me here, and like things are terrible. Where is God in this situation? When you lose your job, when a loved one isn't following the Lord, what is our reaction to this? Well, how could there be a God in this situation? Paul speaks a little differently. It's easy to say God is good when our circumstances are good, but what do you say when your circumstances are not good? I think that I've learned not from anything good within me, but mainly from this, that my circumstances don't dictate God's goodness. Right. It's God being good that dictates his goodness. Right. And despite what the world around me looks like, despite the pain and the brokenness in my life, God is still good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we begin to say, well, God, you're not being very good, that's really, if you get down to the heart of the issue, that's a form of pride. Because what you've done, in essence, is say, well, God, I know better than you. Because this situation you're doing, God, it's all wrong. You've messed this up big time. Like, God, I will tell you how things should go. Have you ever done that? You're usually wrong. Let's do this. You're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. Turn with me, if you have a Bible, Job chapter 38. If you have it, you can go ahead and read it. 38 verses 1 through 3.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me.
I love these verses of the Lord. Who are you that you're questioning what I'm doing? Were you... I'm getting a little ahead of myself. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16. Again, if you have it, you can go ahead and read it. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15 and 16.
But she will display at the proper time he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Thank you. He will display it at the proper time. Notice what it says. Not in your time, not when you say so, but when he says so, and the way that he says so. We're probably going to read this in a little bit. I didn't know that Brother John was going to be doing Exodus, but I'm very happy about that. We're doing Moses in my VBS this year, so I've been diving into Moses a little bit. And maybe my favorite few verses from the whole book, from the whole story, is when Moses is at the burning bush. And he says, look, God, I can't go to Pharaoh. I stutter. You got the wrong guy, God. You got to send somebody else. No, Moses, who gave you breath? Who made you like that? Who are you to say what I should do? Romans chapter 8, this is more of an encouraging thing, but all things work together for good, period. No?
No.
According to his purpose. Again, you're looking at it, my family doesn't love the Lord. Why did so-and-so die? Why is this pain in my body? Why are things going this way? Well, because it's working together according to his purpose. Listen to me. You will not understand everything God does. If you did, you'd be God and we'd be worshiping you. But we're not worshiping you. We're worshiping him. So you're not God. And you don't know how things are going to go. And so when you suspect what's going on, you're looking around and things are crumbling, he's still being good. And look, I don't know why certain things happen. I do love when I can look back and see, oh, that's why you did that. I'll share this with you. So most of you know that my tire blew up, essentially, on the way over here. I have run-flat tires. So that means that I don't have a spare, unfortunately. That's why I had to get towed. But so run flat tires, when they pop, they have a little bubble inside of them that still has some air in it. Maybe 3 months ago, I had to get new tires. And so I got new tires. I went to Mavis. I got the cheapest tires they have. Because look, I'm living by myself. Like, I haven't been working very long. I don't have a lot of money. So the cheapest tires, those are the tires for me. And so I got the cheapest ones. Literally a week after I got them, they were flat. And I'm thinking, like, I was on my way to work in the morning, and I was in the middle of nowhere, and they were flat. And so what am I going to do? So I pull over to the first gas station I see. They have a repair shop there. I did have to wait 2 hours in the snow. I'm not complaining. I am. But he said, the only tires I got for you, they're Pirelli tires. Now, Pirelli tires are like the most expensive tires that they have. And, you know, I have no other alternative. So I'm like, fine, I'll get the most expensive tires that you have. Thank God I got the most expensive tires that they had. Because if I didn't, and my tire popped, I probably would have spun on the road. And I had three counselors in my car. Who knows where they would be right now? Who knows where I would be right now? Thank God he ordained things that way. I didn't understand why my week-old tires were flat, and I certainly didn't understand why I didn't realize that there was a warranty on the tires, but I threw them away. I certainly didn't understand that part. But I don't know why things work out the way they do. I've been interviewing this year, and there was this job that it was like my dream job, at least I thought it was. And I frankly thought I was overqualified for this job. Like, the one thing, I'm not overqualified for much, but the one thing I'm overqualified for was this job. It was like my skill set could not have fit better. It was there was part of this job that was technology oriented. Like, most music teachers are not technology oriented. It was the grade level that I've been teaching for 2 years now. Only that grade level. So I was like, this job, like, it's a shoo-in for me. I got this job. And so I got the interview. I had what I thought was a great interview. I played this piece for them that is well beyond my level, and I didn't get to the part that I couldn't play. They said, that's enough. I was like, thank goodness. But so I got home, and they called me and they said, look, we're not going to go forward with you. And I'm like, man, like, I don't have a job now. And so I began applying for other things. I applied for this short-term lead position at the elementary level. It was general music. It's not what I want to be doing. And so I interviewed. They really liked me on the interview. I thought about, like, just botching the interview, honestly, while I was there, because I really didn't want this job. But I interviewed. They asked me to come in for a demo lesson. I came in for the demo. And I did okay at the demo. And they called me and they said, look, we don't want you for our elementary school, actually. we'd like you to be our high school chorus teacher. And I'm thinking, wow, like, that's what I want to do with my life. And so, like, God ordains these things. I don't know, like, God, why'd you shut that door? Well, so you can lead me here. And, you know, God doesn't always... those are fortunate situations. I don't know why God always works. And I'll share this one with you. I went to college for a while. And a long time in college, I didn't know what I was doing. I was lost for a good deal of college, floundering around majors, unsure of every path that I took, and really just desperate for God's leading in my life. And so I eventually graduated a whole bunch of years later. So this past year, my church asked me if I would think, train, prepare for coming alongside my dad or replacing my dad as the pastor one day. Now, this was not news to me. I knew God's calling over my life. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was what he had for me. Well, God, why did you have me in college for 7 years? I don't know. I have no idea. No idea why he put me there, but I do know that I kept my eyes on him the whole time I was there. And perhaps he's prepared me for situations that will come in the future that I wouldn't be prepared for otherwise. God, why didn't you send me to Bible school? That makes much more sense, doesn't it? Like, if I'm going to be preaching your word, shouldn't I be studying your word in a school maybe? Oh, maybe I would be swayed by the theologies there. Maybe things would happen. I don't know. But I do know that God has brought me thus far, and I'm confident that his leading is good. One more story from you. This is not about my life. This is about this book. I won't read it to you. I know this morning it's supposed to be a little short, but you do know my last name, right? Brevity doesn't it's a story from the book of Joshua. Joshua... early in the chapter, he is told, the Lord is going to do great things for you this day. He's going to do great things for you this day. And he's told, look, you got to walk and you got to cross this body of water. Now, if the Lord spoke to me and said, look, Tim, God's going to do great things for you today, you got to cross Brant Lake. I would go to the edge of the lake and I'd say, all right, where's the boat? Why did the water split? I'm at the beach. Like, what's going on? But I love the language that the Bible uses. It said that when their feet were in the water, well, that's when he parted it. It wasn't when he was standing at the beach. No, maybe, I don't know this for a fact. Actually, I do know it for a fact. But maybe God is seeking for those who are obedient in heart. And maybe he reveals himself and all his glory to those who are obedient. Those who are able to obey despite the circumstances. When everything within you, in your life, is screaming, ouch, I'm in pain, I'm agonizing over this. Maybe God's looking for you to say, okay, I'll walk in the waters. I'll obey you. I don't know what's going to happen. I may walk up chest high. I may be under the water, completely submerged. But I will obey you because, God, you're good. Yeah. I think that's what he's looking for in us. He's not looking for timid Christians. The kingdom of heaven has no room for timidity. Because the Christian life, as far as I can tell, if you're going to live this life timid, man, you're going to fall on your face a whole bunch of times. We need to look to him, brothers and sisters. I can't look to me and walk through the waters. If I do, I'm going to look around and I'm going to cry. I'm going to lose my mind and probably fall and just give up. But if I can keep my eyes on him, I think that's when the Lord will bless. There's this quote that I like. I don't know who this man is, but I read it in a book. John Chrysostom. Does anyone know who that is? I don't know who that is. But he was told that he was going to be banished if he didn't renounce his faith. And this is what he said. If the Empress wishes to banish me, let her do so. The earth is the Lord's. If she wants to have me sewn asunder, I will have Isaiah for an example. If she wants me to be drowned in the ocean, I think of Jonah. If I am to be thrown in the fire, the three men in the furnace suffered the same. If cast before the wild beasts, I remember Daniel in the lion's den. If she wants me to be stoned, I have before me Stephen, the first martyr. If she demands my head, let her do so. John the Baptist shines before me. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I leave this world. Paul reminds me, if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. The book of Hebrews is similar in this. Hebrews chapter 11 calls to mind all the great people of the faith who have set aside maybe the things that they wanted and have pursued the things that God had for them and maybe have not seen it all come to fruition in their lifetime. And then Hebrews chapter 12 opens by saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us keep our eyes, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And so that's what I would like to encourage you to do today when the whole world is sinking around you. When situations are falling apart, let's fix our eyes on Him. Because He's a good God, not based on your circumstances, but based on who He is. He's good.
Trust and obey, for there's no staff. We have it in the lodge by the organ. You can take one, and that song is there. You can get it in your heart these couple of weeks. We didn't sing the last two verses, that we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay, for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Lord, help us. In ourselves, in our strength, we are unable, impossible. You take us places, Lord, as we've heard this morning, that are not just difficult, they are impossible. We need you, Lord. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your equipping. We need your spirit. So, Lord, we ask that you would equip and provide for us, that where you lead, we will follow. Unwavering, we've heard that last quote, Lord. Unwavering, with no fear, Lord, with boldness, with courage. Lord, where you lead, I will go. And so, dear Lord, come to us, not just for this day, but Lord, that you would begin, continue the building, block upon block. Make us who you desire us to be. Lord, we pray again for many that are traveling today. We ask your hand of protection on them, on the highways, Lord, that they would arrive safely. But Lord, we ask especially that you would prepare each heart.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord, already begin to work. Let them sense your presence, Lord, mile after mile. Let them know, dear God, that you are preparing and you are even working now. We commit this day to you, Lord, for the staff, for the counselors, for each one that have worked before them, needs that need to be met. Lord, we ask for your grace, for your wisdom, for your help, Lord. We commit our day to you. And we ask, Lord, in all we do, we would have a keen awareness of your presence. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Just a quick one or two announcements. Please remember that there should be no cars on grounds, but then across the street in the parking lot. And the bus is expected 2 o'clock, give or take. And then, what's the other? Prayer meeting this afternoon for staff. Everyone is invited, but at 4:15 in the lodge, we have a prayer meeting for just about a half hour, so you're all welcome to come. God bless you. Have a great day.